Well, let me jump on into the opening monologue and the Right Side Way monologue. And I want to take a few minutes and talk about the men and women in green. In green. I don't mean the military this time. I mean, you know, this show is a big supporter of first responders and the military, but there's one group that has a thankless job that rarely gets noticed unless things go wrong. And that's the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. And they are important. They risk their lives daily, and they are not expendable. Look, politics is in full swing right now. The two biggest issues, according to the latest polling, are the two that you might expect, the economy and the southern border. People want to know they can feed their families and pay their bills, but also want to feel secure at the same time. It's really not too much to ask of a government where every politico is sworn into office by declaring that they will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Yeah, that's the same Constitution, by the way, whose preamble sets the tone for the whole document by stating, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." But what is galling is when the oath of office takes second place to the agendas of the politicians. When the actual doing of tranquility and common defense and general welfare are somehow deemed secondary to the notions and the whims of progressivism that do nothing but diminish tranquility, destroy common defense, and degrade the general welfare. And no liberal actions or inactions better exemplify the abandonment of the Constitution than what has happened on our southern border for the past several years. In August 2022, 2 full years ago, Customs and Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, he gave sworn testimony in which he admitted that the southern border was overwhelmed as a direct result of the Biden-Harris policies of non-consequences for illegals, and that it is making Americans less safe. That was 2 years ago he said that. He admitted it. To my knowledge, Fox was the only network that even ran the story, go figure. But it got me to thinking, what do you do when those who are supposed to be guarding you aren't really guarding you? When those who are supposed to be in charge of your security admit that their own actions are making you less secure? And what about the idea that men and women who serve in the Customs and Border Patrol's field, that they have a boss who knows the problem and a bigger boss who even caused the problem, but they're the ones stuck in the middle? But like I said, the rank and file of the CBP, they have a job, and their members need to know that they are not at all expendable. Look, I couldn't help but think of a personal set of circumstances. When the war in Afghanistan kicked off, my team was inserted into one of the northern provinces to live among the Afghan people, but my team of six, we had what we called a safe house in the middle of an Afghan town. It weren't really safe, to be honest, so we contracted with the local warlord, General Daoud, to pick up some of his Mujahideen soldiers. So I wound up with my own guard force of 12 Afghan Muldoons, and we had our very own little army. But I can't say they were all that scary. I mean, if things had gotten hairy, I'm pretty sure they would have been the first ones to blow out of there. I remember on one occasion rolling up to our gate in one of our vehicles, just back from a patrol, and there was one of my guys standing out in front of the safe house, and I kid you not, he was wearing a blue Hello Kitty sweatshirt with eyeliner, and he had a flower sticking out of the barrel of his AK-47. I looked at my interpreter, and I said, "Hamid, Kabir over there is not inspiring much confidence. Get that fixed right now." I fired one guard for falling asleep on guard duty. I fired another one for accidentally discharging his weapon in the middle of the night, which got all of our attention, let me tell you. I fired another one for getting stoned on opium while he was supposed to be guarding the wall. That's a whole story in itself. And I fired one of them for stealing shoes. And that one bothered me. He was stealing shoes. I mean, it bothered me because these were guys that I was discovering. They had nothing much to their names, but I couldn't allow stealing to go unchecked, so he was gone. But that's when I decided that if this was going to be our guard force, I had to know their capabilities and their needs. So one of my guys was designated to become their trainer, and we quickly learned it was some of the first real training they'd ever had. We made sure that our Afghan cook didn't scrimp on the food for the guards, and it was probably some of the most consistent eating they'd had in their entire lives. We had a dozen of those dudes all using one outhouse, and it was getting more than ripe, so I used some team funds, dug a full-size brick-lined two-hole outhouse, and they were stoked. Then my interpreter asked me one day if we could get them some basic things. Like what, I asked. Well, it turns out their real boss, General Daoud, was supplying them with absolutely nothing. Some of them only had sandals. No one had hygiene supplies. They needed blankets. They needed clothing. So I sent my interpreter to the bazaar. And by that evening, every one of my Afghan dudes was wearing a clean undershirt, had four new pairs of socks, had all their own hygiene kits with toothbrushes and soaps and a towel, and every one of those men was sporting a brand new set of black Nike high-top basketball shoes. I have no idea, by the way, why a bazaar in Kunduz, Afghanistan had so many pairs of swoosh-labeled shoes. But at that point, I mean, they were still a bit of a rabble, my guards. But by God, they were my rabble. And I believe they would have done anything for our team because we gave them things that they needed. And there's the bottom line. They were my guys. When we left, I believe they were more of our guys than they were General Daoud's. I did all that I could to make sure they knew that I thought that they were important, that I knew they were important, and that they had what it took to make doing their job more workable, more efficient, safer, and honestly more fulfilling. So here's the thing. Transfer what I'm telling you about those guys I had in Afghanistan who had nothing, and I equipped them and let them know that I knew that they were important. And then think about our men and women in Customs and Border Patrol, the CBP. Those are our men and women. Those are our guard force. They are our folks, our first line of defense at the border. And right now, they're getting nothing from the folks that I would have thought would be taking care of them. Just like General Daoud was doing nothing for the guys that he put on my guard detail, I'm finding out more and more that right now, Customs and Border Patrol is overworked, underpaid, and underappreciated by the Biden-Harris administration. They are in a thankless, no-win situation with Biden-Harris doing nothing for them. It's like General Daoud with my guard force. And just like Daoud, President Biden sent the CBP out to do a hard job, but he supplied no follow-up logistics, no moral support, no indication that he's even aware of their needs. I'm so frustrated with our southern border I could spit nails. It's a debacle. It's a mess of the highest order, and people are literally dying because of it. It's a policy issue, something that could be fixed, but my angst is not directed to the men and women who wear the green uniform of the CBP. I know that they have a job that nobody else wants right now. So I want to go on record right now, and I hope that someone somewhere is able to find a way to get this message to them that the men and women of the CBP, they are ours. They are our guard force. They are appreciated. And listen, folks, if your boss won't give you what you need, then we'll find a way to let you know we appreciate you as best we can. My sincere hope is that one day soon we will see a change in the dynamic, that those who worked the southern border who hung on through this dark time will be rewarded for their faithfulness and their dedication to duty. So all you right side ruffians out there, if you know somebody in the CBP, then tell them that regardless of their boss's inability to get them what they need to have, that we know the current situation at the border is not their doing and we the people will get this fixed. Customs and Border Patrol, we need to let them know that we know that they are ours. We will take care of them best we can and give them what they need to make their jobs more workable, more efficient, safer, and honestly more fulfilling. Customs and Border Patrol, you are not expendable. And that's a wrap for the right side way. Yeah, think about it. When we talk about the men and women in blue, we talk about our first responders, we talk about our military all the time. How often do we stop and focus on that job on the border? And just, you know, we fuss about the border, but can you imagine being the guy who's trying to stem the tide? I mean, you only have so many fingers you can put in the dike, right? They need better. They deserve better. They are not expendable. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.